His manifestations were fantastic, because you're going to see from the teaching that they're all tied in. So title of this teaching would be, if you title it, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And the key word there, let's go to John 14:1. We'll start there. Yeah, we will be rolling around here, but it'll be good. Won't go too fast. So the first verse there in John 14:1, Jesus speaking to his disciples, and the context, if you see the whole chapter, you know, he's going to be leaving, you know, he's going to be departing, and he's the disciples are sort of troubled, you know. He says, I'm going to go prepare a mansion for you, and so forth. And then he goes long and says, you know, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He's going to send the Holy Spirit back and so forth. I don't want to get into all that, but it's his word. In verse 1, it says, let your heart not be troubled. So there's the decision to be made. From if you have a troubled heart to get to an untroubled heart, to get there is a decision that we make based on his word. See, it's that simple. It may not be easy all the time because of things that come up, but that's the process. So he's saying, let not your heart be troubled. So they have a choice. He says, you believe in God, believe in me also. And now he's giving him words to believe so that their heart's not troubled. So once they believe that word that he tells them, their heart will not be troubled. Sounds pretty neat, right? They don't have to think up the words, you know. They just have to hear them, receive them, and believe them, right? So, look at verse 27. And this is sort of the end. He tells them all the comfort is coming, and, you know, now you're not going to be left alone. He'll lead you in all truth and all that stuff. In 14:27, he reiterates, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He reiterates it. So I already told you not to do this. Believe me. Here's what I told you to believe. And he's really like sealing it up there. Now, in the Word of God for us, there's a lot of lets. In the New Testament, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Set your mind on things above, you know, boom, boom, boom. You know, put on the new man. So it's all these decisions to be made based on the word of God that we do. God doesn't do them. You know, God doesn't renew our minds, right? You know, of course, he gives us the word and he changes us through his word, but we have to put it on, right? So what I'm going to try to touch on today is how we let our hearts be troubled by going to his word, seeing what his will is, and then receiving that. The word for troubled in that verse 14:27 says to stir up, to agitate, as water in a pool. There was a verse, I think it's in Luke, where they brought people for healing, and they said when the pool stirred up, if you put somebody in there, it's a sign that you can get healed. Well, that's agitated. So when we have an agitated mind, our hearts are stirred up. They're like, you know, just that the waves crashing. There's not that peaceful, like peaceful calm. Peace, on the other hand, is an untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Okay, another definition is this: it's the end of strife, absence or end of strife. So you have strife, you have peace. You have the world, you have God's word. And which deciding factors are believing one or the other, okay? So let's look at Luke 10:41. Let's see about Martha here. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Here's a living example of having a troubled mind here. Probably none of us can relate to this, but we can try if we push our minds here. We can start in verse 38 and give you a context here. Now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. They received Jesus into her house. Sounds pretty good. You have Jesus Christ in the house. You know. He is in the house, right? All right. And then verse 39, you figure there's no problems here. And she had a sister called Mary, which was also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That's pretty telling there. She sat at his feet. She was like rested there, heard his word, right? That's what I see there when I read that. Verse 40, but in contrast to Mary sitting at his feet and hearing the word, Mary was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore to help me, you know. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. The word careful there is to be anxious, to be troubled with cares. And the word troubled means to be troubled in the mind, disquieted. So she was running around doing all kinds of things, and she's troubled in her mind. And by sitting at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet and hearing his word is a remedy for that troubled mind. Okay, and we're going to see that in the word here. The word care also is a dividing or distracting of the mind. Because, you know, you're like, your mind's going this way, that way, should I do this, should I do that? You know, you're worried about, what if this, what if that, what if that, what if this? Is your mind just racing? You know, it's like the thing on the treadmill, a little hamster, right? You know, and then you're never coming up with any answers because worry is fruitless. It's like sowing sawdust, someone once said, I think Carnegie. But you're doing a lot of work, mental work, you ain't getting nowhere, you know? just using a lot of energy for nothing. This word is also used in, look at Matthew 13, 22. Just building a little base here. This is about the sower and the seed, and 13:22. I'm just taking this section where it says about the cares of the world. It says, he that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. See, the word anxiety chokes the word. You don't, it doesn't become fruitful in our lives because we're not fixed on that word. We don't have it resting in our hearts. So that fear, that's the result of anxiety. It's choking the word out of your life. And the word, don't turn there, but in James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So that's like being anxious. Your mind's running back and forth, you know. You're not settled on anything. That's why in the Word of God says, set your mind on things above. You know, set it. Don't, you know, just visit there. You know, stay there. Let the Word of Christ abide in you. Live, you know, that type of thing. And a negative result of also this is anxiety and the distracted mind. Don't turn there, but it's Hebrews 3:12 says, take heed lest your heart depart from God, the living God. See, our heart will depart from God if we're worried. It's because it's not, God says, be anxious for what?
Nothing.
So, you know, if we're anxious, we're not doing God's will, and our heart's not on God's word, so we're not receiving anything, right? And that word to depart means to be drawn away, to be caused to depart. So anxiety, worry, troubled heart causes us to depart from the word, okay? It basically chokes the word, steals our heart. So look at Jeremiah 17:5 here. This is just the intro. We'll be all right. Nah, we'll pick up here. Jeremiah 17:5. We heard a lot of that in the manifestations, man. Be at peace in your heart. Cast your care. Let's see. You are the known subject there in all these. 17. Jeremiah 17:5. Anybody there? Okay, 17:5 of Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart, what, departs from the Lord." Okay, then it says he's going to not be too well here. So look at verse 7. Let's go to verse 7, all right? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For verse 8, for he shall be, not might, shall be as a tree planted by waters that spreadeth forth her roots by the river. He shall not see when he cometh. Her leaf shall also be green and shall not be careful. The word careful, same, anxious, worry, in the year of drought. And then it's going to produce fruit. So you're not, the bad things will come. Jesus said, in my world, in the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you, basically. There's another translation. So that careful, when we're going to have things coming. You listen to news, there's all kinds of stuff out there. But we don't have to be anxious if our mind is fixed on the word, and we're going to see that. We're going to see how our hearts and our minds fixed on the word, how to get there and how to stay there. Hopefully we'll see that now. So let's go look for the remedy. Look at Psalm 56:3. In Proverbs says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, right? A snare, a trap. So we're going to see the remedy for fear. It's right here, and first time I ever really recognized this. In all my years, really never stood out, but I think it'll bless you, this verse. 56:3. So what do you do when you're scared, when you have a troubled heart and fear comes upon you? Well, it tells you right here. There's no guesswork. It says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will not pray for God to do something. I will trust. And then part of that will be, we'll see later on. And then next verse, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And that's similar to in Hebrews 13:5. It says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, I will always be with you. But right here, see, so when you're afraid, a decision, am I going to go to God? Say, first thing is, am I trusting God? He says, I will trust in God. We got to get our hearts and minds to that state that when something comes upon us, that's the first thing, our thought. Now we got to get there. It's not automatic, right? And I will praise him in his word. Look at Psalm, right, we're in the same area, 55:22. It says, cast, we heard that in the manifestation, right? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he, what, shall sustain thee. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved, right? So, cast, of course, you, the word you is the understood subject, right? You cast, you know, God doesn't cast, or your neighbor isn't going to cast. This is the burden, we do it, okay? We cast our burden upon the Lord. The Amplified version is pretty neat. It says, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. He will sustain you. He will never allow you to be the righteous to be moved or to made to slip, fall, or fail. And the word cast is to cast anything upon God, to commit it to his care. Now, Jay, you're my stand-up guy here in these illustrations. So this is my care, these keys. I have a burden. I cast it to Jay. It's my burden, but he's taking care of it for me, and I have confidence that he will take care of it. Then I'm done with it mentally, right? See, that's sort of how it's casting. It's releasing the care of it. Right. It's not like saying, well, God, you know, could you help me? You know, no, God, you got it. That's it. Decisions made, and you don't start going back there. So, you strengthen yourselves because he shall sustain you. When you do that, God will give you the strength to carry it through. Okay, look at Psalm 37, while we're in Psalm 37:5. And Jay, don't cast them back to me because I don't want them cares back, you know. You keep it. That's it. Psalm 37:5, it says, commit, that's against you as the understood subject, Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, commit is to transfer what is roll, you know, to roll thy way upon the Lord, is another translation. To commit all thy concerns to God. Commit them, that's, they're his. You know, it's a commitment, you know. And amplify again, it amplifies it, of course, here. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose every care of your load on him. Trust, rely, lean on him. Be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. That's part of it. We commit to him because we're confident he's going to take care of it. We can't take care of it. God says, be anxious for nothing. We cannot take care of things. We're not designed that way. Our minds aren't designed to worry. Our minds aren't designed to fear. Our minds are designed for love, for joy and peace, for those words. Everything else is an unsound mind, right? God has not given us the spirit of fear, right? Power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind is a result of sound words in the mind, right? So we'll go to 1 Peter 5. Well, just, you know this one. I'll just read it from here. You know, 1 Peter 5 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that word care, again, is dividing or distracting of the mind. You know, anxiety, casting all your anxiety upon him. And the amplified there is casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, because he cares for you affectionately and he cares for you watchfully. But see, we have to put that in our minds and really just make it part of us. Hearing it once and twice, it says, oh, that's good. But put it in our hearts. Dwell on it. Meditate on these verses one at a time till you digest it spiritually, you know, till you receive it. So now, the result of trusting God. Okay, so here's some results. We get results here. Isaiah 26:3. Or the outcomes. It tells us throughout the world. I'm just picking some examples here. 26:3. This is a familiar verse, but in this context, it's pretty neat how it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. That's the key thing. I heard this verse way back when I first got in the Word. Somebody said, you know, I took it out of context or I heard it wrong. Staying my mind on God. So I'm picturing G-O-D, G-O-D, you know, in my mind. Like, you know, well, hey, that's growing, right? But I forgot the rest. It's trusting in him. But how you trust him? We're trusting in the words that he gives us. Like Jesus did to the disciples. He gave them words to trust. So if they believed it, they would have that peace and not a troubled heart. Same with us. God gives us words to trust. That's how we trust in him. But we have to get the words in our minds, in our heart, and we'll keep it there as we see. Next verse, we'll look at Psalm 28:7. I like this psalm. I read this every morning, this one. This is a good one. Gets me fired, charged up in the morning. Says, the Lord is my strength. Now look at the my's in here, right? It's personal. My strength, my shield, my heart trusteth in him. I am helped. Therefore, because I know, when I trust in him, I know I'm helped. My heart greatly rejoiced with a song while I praise him. See, we know we're helped at the point we trust him, not at the point we see the results, right? That's not believing, because that's going by your five senses. We believe God's going to do it. We thank him for it with thanksgiving, like it says in Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and mind by Christ Jesus. Then it goes on to say, finally, brethren, whichever things are just, honest, lovely, good report, all that stuff, think on these and then you will, and do them, right? So just don't like say, oh, I know about it. Knowing doesn't, you know, be doers of the word, like it says in James, not hearers only. So a lot of times we're deceived because we know a lot of word. We've heard a lot of word. It's like, are we doing it? That's the key. That's where the decision's being made. And that's the way we check our minds. So look at Psalm 112 here. How to fix our hearts. The result of, a fixed heart here. It's a good psalm, this one here. I'm just going to pick a couple verses. 112 verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth, reverences, honors the Lord, and that delighteth greatly in his commandments." See, that's the key. We delight in God's command. We know that God takes care of us. And we know his word is true. We heard in the manifestations. God is not a man he should lie. And look at verse 7. So that person who delights in his commandments and reverences God, verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. It's established, the next words. It's fixed. Just like it says, set your mind on things. It's fixed. It ain't going nowhere. But because he delights in the commandments and he has respect for God's word, that it's God's will, God will do what he says he's going to do, and there's no problem there. And nobody's going to talk me out of it. See, we have a choice. Don't let anything or anyone talk us out of it. I looked up the word evil tiding. If it, in our day, it would be a beep, bad or evil report, say rumors or news, right? Fixed is to be firm, to be stable, established. And how is our heart established? It says trusting in the Lord. Just like we saw in Isaiah 26:3, it says that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed because he trusteth in him. See, he is trusting. All our confidence is in God. Proverbs 3. We doing good here, tongue-wise? Good. And this is how we basically get a fixed heart and keep it here. Proverbs 3:1. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." See, just not hear it, do it. 4, now if you do that, length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Now look, verse 3, let, there's that word let again, right? It's up to us. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them around thy neck, write them on the table of your heart." Trying to get this message across here, right? "So you shall find good understanding in the sight of God and man." Verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." It's all thine heart. "Lean not to your understanding." Now, to lean to your understanding, it's rely on your understanding. If you think about it, Abraham, God told Abraham some words to believe, right? Like, Sarah's going to have the baby, you're going to have a kid, and you're 99, and so forth. And he staggered not at the God promise of God through unbelief, right? If he leaned to his own understanding in that situation, he ain't going nowhere, right? He ain't having no kid. He ain't believing God. Now, let's take it to us. We believe that Jesus Christ died and God raised him from the dead. If we lean to our own understanding there's no way anywhere you're going to believe that logically, right? How could you believe something we never saw it? Right? But we didn't lean to our understanding. If we're born, we believe that we got born again. We got Holy Spirit. We can speak in tongues. We have proof from God's word that all through the word, because we believed it is God's word, and that took us from unrighteousness to righteousness. So we didn't lean to our understanding in that case. So in every other case in the Word of God, it's the same thing. It's believing is required to receive. The whole Bible's like that, right? So. That's why it says trust with all our hearts, not just in some situations, some circumstances. Look at Psalm 4 here, Proverbs 4, I'm sorry. While we're there, 420. I didn't even get off page 1 yet. Yeah, we're there. Yeah. Now page 2. So, my son, 420, my son, attend unto my words. You there? Yeah, take your time. I need a sip anyway here. 420. Got it. Good. All right. 420 says, "My son, attend to my word." Pay attention to my words. Nothing else. Not the news, not the evil reports, not any of your mother, your grandmother, your kids, your spouse, if it's off the word. Attend to my word. Incline your ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. It takes work, right? Because there's things trying to steal it from us, right? And it says, keep them in the midst of thy heart. Why? For they are life unto those that find them, and health or healing to your flesh. Jesus Christ said in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life. Right? Okay, so we're supposed to keep that in our minds, in our hearts. And verse 23 just says, guard. Now guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The reason we keep saying guard, keep guard, there's things try to steal it, like worry, fear, well, the adversary, but through these avenues of worry and fear and all that stuff. Bad news. So we're in the home stretch. We're almost done here. So how do we, what do we do next here? All right. Basically, to sum it up, look at Luke. Jesus Christ had it real clear. Luke 6, 47. Let's go 46. It's good. Says, Jesus says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Right? That's a nice question. It's real revealing here. Verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. So you come to the word of God, we hear it and do it. Verse 48, he shall be like a man which built a house, dig deep, laid his foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. That word shake is agitate, basically to get him troubled. But because we're built on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ is the rock, man. You know, it's not us. It's not our believing, it's him. He just gives us what to believe. Our confidence is him and our Father. And we just trust in him, look, for all he's done for us. And the overriding factor is God loves you. He loves us. You know, we can't forget that. It's just not God as provider of things. He's our Father. He cares for us and he loves us. I didn't want to go down that avenue, but you got to keep that as the overriding motivation for God to do anything for us. And he's already done it for us in Christ. We just receive what he says. So our heart's not troubled. We don't let it be troubled. And we'll end, you don't have to turn there, but Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death. Spiritually minded is life and peace. The connection between the two is our decision of what we're putting in our minds, what we're believing and acting on. If it's the carnal or the spiritual. And that spiritually minded is a continuous action. We hear, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's a continuous verb. It's not you hear it once and then you're gone. So, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen? Amen.